If you have your Bible, turn with me to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, verses 5 through 7. Appreciate the messages in song and appreciate this special day. And Delbert and Peggy's got two roles here. We need to baptize Delbert every Sunday, don't we? In Luke 21, verses 5 through 7, it said, as some spoke of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, as for these things which ye have, that ye behold, the day will come in the which there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be, and what sign will be there, when these things shall come to pass? And the Lord then starts a discourse called the sermon that deals with the second coming of Jesus Christ. I want to talk about the questions about tomorrow. It's the disciples' turn now to ask questions, and it all started out with the arrival in the temple of a poor widow woman who came and gave everything she had. She put it into the offering plate. Compared to the rich men, her two copper coins seemed quite insignificant. But Jesus said that she gave more than all the others combined. The widow's mite does not represent the least that we can give, but it represents the most that we can give. When we sing, take my silver and my gold, not a mite will I withhold, we're telling the Lord that we're giving him everything without question. Now the Lord sees not only the portion that we give, but he sees the proportion. He sees that which is left, and by that he measures the gift and the condition of the heart. Winston Churchill said, "We make a living by what we give, but we make a life for what we, or we make a living for what we get, but we make a life with what we give." Well, Jesus left the temple and he went to the Mount of Olives. The Bible tells us Peter, James, and John went with him. And when they got there, they started to ask him questions. Lord, when would the temple be destroyed? Two, what would be the sign of his coming? And three, what would be the sign of the end of the age? Now, the disciples thought that all of these events would occur simultaneously or at the same time. But Jesus states that the temple would be destroyed first, and then there would be a long period of time in between the time the temple was destroyed and the time that Jesus brings judgment upon the earth and comes back again the second time. Here, someone focuses, and I think we certainly need to do that, on the fact of God's program. And that's really what all of this is dealing with in Matthew chapter 24 and Matthew 25. This is dealing with the end time and in particular, the Great Tribulation. And that's really what we're going to talk about this morning. Many Bible students believe that the tribulation will begin after the Lord comes in the air and he takes his children home with him. It'll be an amazing day when all of a sudden people just disappear. Now, the Lord is not going to be manifest on that day because he will meet them in the air, and so shall they ever be with the Lord. Now, there's also coming a time later on, and we'll talk about that this morning, that every eye shall see him when he comes back the second time in judgment. The Bible says, be not deceived. This is our Lord's admonition to us. Be not deceived. The devil is a deceiver, and he'll do everything that he can in order to deceive you and me. And the only sure way for us to be able to keep our balance in this deceptive world is to read the Word of God and let it speak to our hearts and then obey it. Obey it. Well, it starts out in verses 1 through 14 in Matthew chapter 24. And the events described in this section are what we call the birth pains of the end or the beginning of sorrows. And it simply pictures the image of a woman in travail and turmoil. And it reminds us of the fact that during the difficult times of the tribulation, things are going to wax worse and worse, but it's a precursor to the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come again, and that coming is very, very soon. Well, he talks about several things here that will happen in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. The Jews have often been led astray by false prophets and false Christs. The rider on the white horse in Revelation chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, is the Antichrist, the final world dictator who will lead the nations astray, and he will begin his career as a peacemaker. The Bible said he comes with a bow, but no arrows. He is a peacemaker, signing a covenant with Israel that he will protect Israel for 7 long years. Israel will then welcome this man as their great benefactor. But after 3.5 years, he will change. But the Bible also says that in these last days, during their first part of the tribulation, there'll be wars and rumors of wars. And there's always been wars and rumors of wars, but this does not tell us that the end is coming. There'll be wars and rumors of wars until the time that Jesus Christ comes. But he talks about war and famine. They go together. And during times of famine, you have times when the economy does not satisfy and meet the needs of people. And inflation sets in, and people die because of starvation and malnutrition and famine. Then he talks about martyrs. Christians have always been the target of those that hate the Lord. And that's the only way I know how to say it is they don't love the Lord and they hate him. And they hate everything that the church stands for. And so in the last days, there'll be some that will die for the cross of Christ. And brethren, they're already dying. It's just that it's not right here in front of us. Then worldwide chaos in verses 10 through 13. Those who once were true to each other will betray each other. This suggests that marriages, homes, and nations will be torn asunder because of a lack of loyalty. Do we not see that in America today? A lack of loyalty. There's fighting, there's turmoil, there's grief. And it just reminds us that the Lord is coming back soon. The Bible said lawlessness will abound and the love of many will wax cold. But even, And I think you see this quite often in the news anymore, but even the law enforcement agencies will not be able to keep the peace. And I know Mark is a policeman, but I'm here to tell you that our government, in a lot of cases, do not back up the police. They try to keep the peace and they don't have anyone to have their back. And it's a sad day in which we live, but it just reminds us that we're coming close to that end time when the Lord says, it is enough. Then the middle of the tribulation starts in verses 15 through 22 in the book of Matthew. And the prophecy involves here in Daniel 9, 24 through 27, it involves 70 weeks. And the Hebrew word weeks means a week of years or 7 years. 70 sevens would equal 490 years. But this period of 490 years is broken up into three parts. First of all, during the first 7 weeks or 49 years, the city of Jerusalem would be rebuilt and the worship reestablished. Now, this was after the Babylonian captivity, when Israel went and served in captivity for a number of years, and God heard their cry and brought them back home to the homeland. And I remind you that they were able in those 49 years to reestablish the city and the sacrificial worship system by building the temple there in Jerusalem. Now, during the second period of time, after 63 weeks or 434 years, Messiah would come to Jerusalem and die for the sins of all the world. Now, Robert Alexander, in his classic book, The Coming Prime, has proven that there were exactly 482 prophetic years of 360 days each between the giving of the decree and the day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem as their king. You know, the Bible lays it all out for us. And it just reminds us that God is in control. He knows what he's doing. He prepared Israel, and he wants to work through Israel in order to reach the masses of mankind and help all to be saved all over the world. God loves the sinner and doesn't want him to perish. But we must all account now for that 1 week that is still left over, 1 week of 7 years. Now, the Bible tells us that in 70 A.D., Titus and the Roman legions came in, as was prophesied by the Lord, that they would come in and they would destroy the temple and disperse the Jews. In 70 A.D., Titus and the Roman legions came in and they literally slaughtered 1 million Jews. 100,000 Jews went into captivity. And they destroyed the temple to where not one stone was left standing on the other. And the Jews were dispersed. They were no longer recognized as a nation. Now time rolled on by as they were scattered to the four corners of the earth. And the Bible tells us that Israel is pictured by a fig tree in the Bible. It's always been a symbol of national Israel. And the Lord said, in the last days, when you see the fig tree began to bloom, and you see all of these things began to happen, then look up and know that your redemption draweth nigh. And so the Bible tells us that there was a pulling there was that movement of Jewish people from all around the world. They were pulled like a magnet back to that little strip of land called Israel. God's word will be true. They came back May the 15th, 1948. They were recognized by the United Nations as a sovereign nation once again. Harry Truman, the President of the United States, cast the deciding vote. God is in control. It might seem sometime like that God doesn't know what's going on and things are in a mess and it can't be straightened out. Oh, yes, God's in control. And everything is on schedule. And one of these days, the Lord's going to say, it's enough. But I remind you, in the last 3.5 years, we're going to talk about the end of the tribulation. You know, the scripture tells us that there will be a gathering of the Gentile nations of the world to that place that we call the Valley of Megiddo. And they tell us already that the eagles, the buzzards, the birds are flocking to that place, getting ready for the big feast. There will come a time when the Gentile nations, Antichrist and his forces, will turn and fight against the Lord, and they'll be soundly defeated. In fact, the Bible said blood will flow like a river for 200 miles at the height of a horse's bridle. I'm here to tell you, it's not far off. But you know, I'm glad to know that God's in control and he will not allow us to be tempted or tried above what we're able, but will with the temptations make a way of escape for us. Now, I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come one day soon and he's going to rapture us out of this old world. You see, he does not intend for us to go through what's going to happen in the last 3.5 years. The first 3.5 years, things were natural. The last 3.5 years, they're supernatural, and they're devastating. And they come by the power of God as he sends judgment upon the nations. One of these days, and I don't know when, but it won't be long, I really believe that he's going to call us up to meet him in the air, and all of a sudden, the church will be gone. And I know that when the church is pulled out and the restrainer, the Holy Spirit of God, is taken out of this world as a restrainer, the world is going to get into a terrible fix and a terrible mess. Right now, while the church is here, it hinders the devil from doing what he wants to do. But when the church is raptured out, then he will make manifest the Antichrist. And the Antichrist, after 3.5 years, he will break the treaty and he will go and set up his temple in the temple of Almighty God. And he will build an image to himself. And this is the abomination of desolation that the Bible talks about. But everything's on schedule. Everything is moving just the way God intended for it to. He's in charge. Everything is coming to an end. Nothing, not one jot, not one tittle that he has promised would happen has been omitted. It's all coming to pass, just like he said. The question is, are we ready to meet him, you know? Folks all around us need the Lord. We need to do all we can to reach them and help them to come to know him in the free pardon of sin. But I ask you this morning, are you prepared and are you ready for the Lord's coming? He's coming. I think we all believe that. He's coming. Don't be deceived into thinking, well, it's a long way off. I don't think it is. I think it's real, real soon. So whatever you do, do what God wants you to do. Like I gave you the admonition in the beginning, read the Word of God, heed it, do exactly what it tells you to do. And if you do, you've got a good foundation. Let's bow for prayer.